following podcast is a special presentation of Answers for Elders featuring Evergreen Washelli.
And welcome to Answers for Elders Radio, everyone. We are here with the wonderful Dan White, our expert of the month from Evergreen Washelli. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Suzanne. Always a pleasure to be here.
And I'm excited during this month of March, which is Caregiver Month, because, one thing that caregivers of seniors will likely all face is the day when they lose their loved one. And, we've talked a little bit about, how Evergreen Washelli recognizes the sacrifices that caregivers make. And, I can understand, Dan, a little bit about the emotional piece of that, as when I lost my mom. And I'm sure that, what do you see typically from a caregiver when a loved one passes emotionally?
Just like I do from a family member
in a lot of cases, mm-hmm.
because, think about it, to be a good caregiver, you have to open yourself up, be vulnerable, and really give of yourself for that individual. So it's just as, it can't ever be as heartfelt as the actual spouse or the other family members that are there. But for them, it is like they were family.
Right.
And so I do see that a lot.
Well, and as a daughter, I know from my mom, her needs were so integrated with my own as I was taking care of her. I remember even weeks after she passed away, I'd walk into the grocery store and I'd think about, I have to buy half and half. I have to buy, all these things that were important to her. And it was just like autopilot. There was something about my world that changed so dramatically when she passed away. And I know for so many families out there, one of the things I think that we take for granted that we don't necessarily realize is that we have a great support network with so many of these wonderful providers. I know my mom's caregivers, her nurses, her social workers, all the things that worked with her were kind of my lifeline too as I was taking care of her.
Correct.
Then what happens is that loved one passes away.
Right.
All of a sudden that network's just cut off from you. And this is a time when you're grieving. So it's like you have to find other outlets, other resources to be able to grieve and go through that grieving process. So, how do you help families, or how have you seen that grieving process unfold?
Well, we do offer quite a bit on our website for grieving families as far as resources are concerned. And we really have one really nice one that I like, and that's called Hope After Heartache. And it's an email that you can sign up for, and weekly we send out inspirational quotes and such so that you'll get them in your emails.
I love
that. And when you think about it, it's nice because it's like you're receiving something from somebody who understands what you're going through and care, and, you'll get them, and you may not align yourself with anyone in particular, but there will be those that will really strike a good chord and bring back that memory of the one that you have recently lost, but also maybe give you time to reflect on what a good gift that you were to that person.
Well, and I think the other thing what you're saying too is that, a lot of us, especially those that have busy careers, tend to just shove that grief inside. I got to get on with it. And then all of a sudden, it's like one day we just explode. Because grief has to be processed. And I know that for all of us to be able to have an outlet that we can reflect, like an email program like what you have with Hope After Heartache, that is something that I think is so valuable for families today, to be able to have something that just allows them to connect with the healing parts of themselves. Because it is a process, for sure.
It is a very much a process. I mean, I think about you sharing with me after your mom passed that it took you several years before you started to unpack some of the boxes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It took, thank God for my husband to sit me down gently and say, I'll go through these with you. Yeah. Because I wasn't ready to face it. I wasn't ready to face all the things. And, you know, and then I started feeling guilty, like, well, it's been sitting there for years, right?
Right.
And, you know, I guess the thing that we all go through is the fact that we all process things differently. And you know, just to have that sense of, you know, closure is as we process our own grief.
Right.
You know, there's still moments today. I mean, my mom died in 2011. I know just the other day that I was using her china and her crystal, and all of a sudden I had a memory of, you know, some family dinners that we used to have. And I found myself just a little bit of a tear came in through my eyes. It wasn't a bad experience, but it was a touching one.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also normal. It's normal to have those feelings and those experiences. I mean, I still do about my dad. He passed away in 2002.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have those, you know,
Yep.
For sure.
I just had one on February 2nd because that was the 40th anniversary of my mom's passing.
Oh, my goodness.
And so even that long, you still remember.
Absolutely.
You still think.
Absolutely. Yep. So we are talking again with Mr. Dan White, and he is the Community Outreach Manager for Evergreen Washelli. And Dan, tell me a little bit about Evergreen Washelli location, different, you have two different cemeteries, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We do have two different cemeteries, and we actually have two different funeral home or cremation provider locations. So we have our main location is down on Aurora Avenue, 111th and Aurora, and that's a beautiful park on both sides of Aurora, about 160 acres. And been around since 1885.
Wow.
And then we have
You have the big veterans cemetery there. I know that there's a
big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's about 5,500 in that particular location. It is full. But we continually are improving and adding more options for this very much diversified cremation market and funeral market for everyone, the residents here of Seattle. The other location is up in Briar, and that's the Abbey View Memorial Park, that cemetery. And that has about 84 acres, but only about 25 acres are developed. But it's a very beautiful, more secluded cemetery. Then we have Lifetime Celebrations in Bothell. And we've actually owned that property since 1999. But it is simply just a funeral home or a place for people to come to meet for at-need arrangements or also use the facility. It's a lovely facility for other functions as well.
Right, right. I'm sure you could even have a wedding there. I was in there. It's a very nice property. I bet. I think that's
We have had a wedding there.
That's awesome. And then, so tell me a little bit about, like, for families when they're going through the grieving process. I seem to remember you said that there's an opportunity for them to come back and connect after they've had a service or what? I'm trying to remember. In one of your previous interviews, you talked a little bit about that. Am I off base here? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall But we do have, I mean, we do after we have met with a family, after the service has happened, then we actually do schedule an appointment and go to
their home. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's what we call our aftercare visit.
Okay.
And so we let a little bit of time pass, but then we go out to just meet with the family, take them some additional grief resources and see if there's how things are going and if there's anything that we can help with.
Yes. And one of the things that you're finding, like what you've said in a previous interview, just like what we are, is that younger senior now is saying, I don't want my family to grieve like this and go through all the complicated processes.
Correct.
Planning. Yeah. So, you know, when you meet with families and talk about that, how, you know, what are some of the questions that you ask them?
Well, we typically just start asking and finding out about family, find out where they live. We also start to walk through the process of what options are available to them between burial, actual entombment in a mausoleum above ground. And mm-hmm. we find that most people really don't know much about mausoleums.
No.
They know about burial, and we could probably talk to them all day long, but they really probably wouldn't learn much, anything new. Then we talk about cremation. And mm-hmm. with cremation, they have several options. We have in ground, above ground, outdoor, indoor options for families. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that. Then we also begin to talk about what they want their life celebration to look like.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the service. We talk about if they want a viewing, if they don't want a viewing, if they want an open casket, closed casket, if they want a very simple cremation, or if they want a very large celebration.
Right.
And
right.
A lot of people, you know, with cremation, what a lot of people, the misconception is that we just pick you up, bring you into our care, cremate you, and give you back the cremated remains. But what I'm finding is that people want more of a celebratory reflection
right.
on the cremated. So a lot of times we will have the body present, have a viewing, have the service, and then the cremation occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cremated remains are returned to the family and or for permanent placement.
Right. And obviously, you know, that goes without saying that a lot of people, I think, will say, I don't want any celebration, don't do it. But the celebration isn't for you, per se. It's for your family.
It's for the family, yep.
And it's also, I think, an important ritual that has to happen in order for them to find closure. And I, you know, that's the thing that I know there's so many different ways in which you can, you know, have your life celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mainly think about, you know, what that's like for your, you know, the ones that you leave behind, for sure.
Yeah. And yeah. that you hit that, you're spot on when you say mm-hmm. that, because all of the research that's been done, and from psychiatry and psychologically speaking,
mm-hmm.
you need to find closure. So it is good to have, and sometimes it's good for certain family members to actually physically see the body
mm-hmm.
to make that touch point that they truly are gone. And so sometimes when we do the cremation, it can lose that.
Yeah, that's true. So Dan, how do we reach you?
You reach me by, probably the best way is my cell phone, 425-241-2853. Or by email, you can reach me at dwhite@washelli.com.
Dan, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, Suzanne.
This has been a special presentation of Answers for Elders featuring Evergreen Washelli. For more information about Evergreen Washelli, their website is washelli.com. That's washelli.com.